Let's shed some light on the human condition.
Oh, good. We could do that.
Oh, good, because it's in the dark right now.
Yeah, no problem.
We're going to talk about all the things that people have been wanting us to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And so much more.
Yeah. So this is Geralyn,
Amy,
and Susan.
And we are here with the Because Show. We are going to take this podcast into new realms and do a no holds barred, no bars held kind of episode. Let's go.
To infinity and beyond.
All right. Take this podcast and shove it.
So I have an abundance of notes this evening. We have a lot of stuff. I found a lot of interesting, fun, unusual topics are going to make us reflect and explore on life in general. But before we start, ladies, how are you doing?
Well, we had a little barf incident.
Well, not we.
Well, we meaning
Susan's family.
The royal we. Charlie barfed at school today, so I got a call. Actually, the secretary came down to my classroom.
Oh, my goodness.
And said, oh, you need to call your husband. He said, it's not an emergency, but call as soon as you can. So, of course, I'm thinking, oh, my God, like,
who died?
Henry's in the hospital and he's, you know, whatever. So I call and, Charlie is at school and he barfed. And the teachers want someone to pick him up right away.
Wow.
So I'm like, And he had an important meeting at 4 o'clock, so he couldn't go. So I got someone to cover my class and picked him up, and, you know, he was fine.
Did he have a fever or anything, or just an upset stomach?
No, he didn't have a fever. So I just took him home and, you know, plopped him in front of the TV, gave him a pillow and a blanket, laid out a big blanket to catch any, if there was another barf.
Yeah.
And he was fine, and then it was time to go pick up my other son, Henry. So we went to pick Henry up, and we stuck around the school for a little while, and he was fine. Charlie was fine. Had some juice.
Oh.
And then we got in the car to come home, and we're one block away from my house, and Charlie says, Mommy, tummy hurt, tummy hurt.
Oh, no.
I want Mommy, I want Mommy.
Oh, blah,
blah,
poor
blah.
Baby.
Yeah, it was just,
yeah.
And Henry goes, oh, that's gross, Charlie. I'm like, way to be supportive, your brother barfing all over the car seat.
Poor Charlie.
So there was
and poor
that.
You.
Yeah.
Baby vomit. One of the perks of being a parent.
Yeah.
All that vomit.
Absolutely. Well, we have this time together that we can escape from the baby barf.
True.
Elsewhere in the world, we can.
And everybody else can too by listening to us.
Exactly. So now, what do you guys want to talk about?
Well, I have something to talk about.
Let's do it. Okay.
I gotta fill everybody. I'm so pissed at the library. I gotta fill everybody on my continuing library adventure. So
you know what I always say? That goddamn library.
Those fuckers at the library. The fucking library. Who the fuck do they think they are? Anyway, so. Some of you may or may not know that I use the library all the time. It's right by my office. It's great. You guys all know I'm such a pretty diehard reader, so it's awesome. And I returned a book there that was never sort of recorded or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now my library card has been suspended, and they're charging me $46 for this book that I returned. I totally returned it, and I don't want to pay that. So Miss Susan, was nice enough to lend me her card.
Right, because I didn't want you jonesing, you know,
yeah,
going through the withdrawal.
Right, and she doesn't use it. It was very sweet of her. So I had talked to the library and said, I returned it. They're like, well, we're sorry. There's nothing we can do. Like, I was pissed.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, okay, well, but then I got Susan's card. So I reserved some books, like I always do, and I picked them up at the library. I used Susan's card. It was fine. No problem. So I reserved some more books, like I always do. Went to the library. This was on Wednesday, I guess, yesterday. Gave him the card, and then the guy was like, wait a minute. And he said, do you have a regular card? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, do you have a regular person card? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, this is a teacher card.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I told you that.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, well, it's the only one I have. He's like, you don't have a regular card? I'm like, no.
Yeah,
he's like, well, you're not supposed to reserve books on a teacher card.
Oh.
And I was like, you're not? And he's like, no. And then he's like, wait a minute. He goes clickety clickety into the computer. And he's like, what's your address? So I peeked over. I'm like, it's the one on Wood Terrace. And he's like, oh, have you ever lived on Orchard Lane or anything? I'm like, no, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, well, this is the only card I got. And he was like, okay. And he like grabbed the books. He's about to like, you know, check them out. And he's like, well, can I see some ID? And I said, it's not my card.
Oh, did he take it from you? Did he confiscate it?
Cut it off like a bad credit card. And he was like, what? And I was like, I owe you 40. I can't. I'm like, you're charging me $46. I'm not going to pay that. And the, you know what he did? He's like, you can't use someone else's card. And he puts his arms around the books and like inches them closer to himself. Like, I'm going to grab them and run. You know? Like, I'm like some crazed lunatic who wants to read Arcadia. And so I'm like, he's like, well, you can't use someone else's card. I'm like, well, my friend was nice enough to lend me her card because I'm not going to pay you $46 for the fucking book, you know? And he's just like, well, you can't use the card if you're not authorized on it. I'm like, ugh. She said it was fine, you know? And he's like, do you want to talk to your supervisor?
Oh.
I was like, yeah, I do. So I went and talked to the supervisor. I told her what happened. You know, she's like, well, your friend, you can use your friend's card, but she has to get a regular card in addition to her teacher card. And she has to fill out this form and she's doing it in person. Like, all this bullshit. Oh, I'm like, come on. My friend did me this huge favor and she has two kids. And now I'm supposed to like schlep her to the library so she can fucking fuck. Fuck you guys. I'm so pissed. And she's like, oh, and I'm like, look, staring at my books that I can't read.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, you have another book on hold under your card. I'm like, well, I can't get it because my card's suspended. And she's like, well, do you want to fill out a dispute form? A dispute thing? I'm like, sure. And I said, how does that work? And she's like, well, you know, someone will see it, an administrator will see it, and then in a couple days they'll call you and it'll be up to the discretion of the administrator. I was like, okay. So I filled out this form. I like went upstairs. Like I didn't do it. I sat down. I took off my coat.
You're like, okay, let's
go. And I wrote it. They give you like, you know, 10 lines maybe. And I filled those up and I turned it over and I filled up the rest of the paper.
Nice.
And I just, I wrote like, one of my things was I tried to be like cheerful, but firm and adult. And I'm like, I said like, the library is such a valuable community resource and being shut out like this undermines my faith in the community at large.
Oh, that was good, nice. Right? Yeah. Nice.
I'm talking about my son. I brought Benji in there. I'm like, my son and I both love to read. And now like I can't afford to buy all new books, but I don't know what else to do, you know, and blah, blah. And at the end I wrote, and I, in the spirit of compromise, I'm willing to buy you a new book for this to replace the one I lost, you know, spend $12 or $15, but I just, I can't get my peace with spending $46, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I gave it to them and, that was it. So I don't know if they're going to like have my picture up there. Like, do not loan books to this woman.
She is insane. She will take our books.
Totally. I'm like, I'm not trying to rip you off, you stupid fucking library. So that was my library story.
Wow.
It was a little humiliating.
Yeah. But you know, you disputed it, you know? Stand up for your rights.
Yeah. Fuck those guys.
Yeah.
Let me use my card.
Yeah. Give her card back. We should make t-shirts.
Get Amy's card. Totally. And I figure if this doesn't work, I'll get Benji a card and I'll use his card.
There you go.
I'm going to go to the library.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what I have to do.
Yeah.
I don't care if I, like, go to library jail.
Right.
You know, or whatever.
It's really the copy room.
Yeah, exactly. Where you can't, you can only read things that are lame. but I am going to figure out a way to use the library and I'm going to fucking use it.
Yeah.
Those fuckers.
Did you tell them you have a podcast?
You asked me that last time. I don't know if that will matter to them. I'm also in a fight with UPS right now and, I will tell, that might work for the podcast. I'm trying to, like, take it one institution at a time. Anyway, that was my story.
Very
my
nice. We'll keep us posted. I'm sure you will triumph in the end.
I hope so.
You will.
I feel like I'm going to take it to the fucking mayor. Like, I don't care. I'm going to get my library card back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It seems to me the best route would be to buy a replacement book and go there with your hat in your hands.
Like, here's your fucking book.
As well as the book and just...
I'm happy
to
do that.
It would save you $30 instead of...
Yeah, no, I'm happy to do it. I offered to do it.
The only way.
But, and was it a regular, like a paperback book or a...
It was a hardcover.
Okay. But usually those library hardcover ones are like actually special library hardbound.
Oh, really?
Where they're like specially stitched. Like,
so now they're $46 each.
And they're much more expensive,
I know we have a lot of librarians who listen to us.
That's right.
And this
may be
the perfect opportunity.
Jessica, what should I
call.
Do?
We have, several have mentioned that they work at libraries or are librarians. So any suggestions?
Oh my God,
or
you
advice?
Guys, tell me. I know Jessica was like participating in that thread a little bit. So please tell me what to do. Tell me how to get around this. That would be so helpful.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, good.
We do love our listeners, and we especially love that when they leave us voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
We have one here. Let's take a listen.
Hi, ladies. My name is Terry. I've left you a message before. I think it was about mascara. I live in West Hollywood, and I'm the one that rarely agrees with you but can't stop listening to you. And I just wanted to give you a couple of ideas for different like subscription services, kind of like Birchbox, but they're for food, and I don't think you've mentioned those. There's one called Love with Food, And it's also on Facebook. You can go to lovewithfood.com or find them, Love With Food on Facebook. And they will send you a box with about 5 to 10 samples of different yummy things every month, for, I believe it's about $7. And it's good stuff. The other one is called goodies.com. And it does the same thing. It's through Walmart, and they give you, again, about 5 to 10 samples of different scrumptious things for between $7 and $10 a month. And I've subscribed to both of them for about 6 months now and have been happy every month. Something else on the Groupon kind of side of things is a site called lifebooker.com. And I don't think you've mentioned it, but it gives you daily deals on beauty services like haircuts, massages, facials, waxing, dermabrasion, whatever. And I did go through them to find a stylist and ended up sticking with her. They give great deals, and you can check them, you know, for your local area. So just thought those things might be of interest, and I'll keep listening. Thanks.
I feel like this is our chance to disagree with her.
Okay, let's do it. Everything you said's wrong.
No, thank you for calling, Terry. And I don't think I have mentioned those because I've never heard of any of them. So yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us a heads up. They all sound good. I especially like the last one about the beauty services.
Yeah, that's great.
That sounds like
right. And I still want to know what you disagree with us about. Because everything we say is so right, obviously.
No, that first one sounds great with the food.
Yeah.
The $7 of food.
No, that's a good deal.
Tasty treats.
Thank you, Terry.
Hi, Because Show. It's April from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I love your show. I'm so excited. I saw your number on Twitter and thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to call. So I'm very excited to listen to this next podcast, and love you guys. Bye.
Thanks, April. That's so sweet.
That's nice. And it's like a positive iPod. iTunes review.
But this time with a teeny little bit of a very cute accent.
Yes.
It's very cute.
Tulsa.
Yeah.
April, thank you. She and I follow each other on Instagram and on Twitter. She's one of my besties.
Oh, very nice. Cool. Oh, I got a very nice private message, speaking of that, from Kelly, our 911 dispatcher friend. I think she meant to post it on our wall, but she just got confused. So she just posted to me and said that she was reading Fingersmith and she loved it and to thank me for the recommendation, which was very sweet. Yeah, and I told her to, and I thanked her. She told us that we were her BFFs even though we didn't know it, which was also very sweet.
Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for listener feedback. Let's move on into the core of our show.
Ooh.
We have so much stuff to talk
about. The hot molten core.
It's a little bit disjointed. There's not an overlying theme. So what do you want to hear about? A new trend, a interesting marriage and happiness topic,
just start or at the top.
Money?
I want to hear about all those things, but at first I want to talk about this birthday party you're having.
Okay.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Oh, yeah. Geraldine's having a birthday party.
Geraldine's having this big old birthday party for herself. We're very excited.
She's going to be like 29, 30? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. Uh-huh. 24. Mm-hmm. Andy from the table set's going to cater it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. So Susan and I were wondering how big it's going to be. Is it going to be like a big rockin' good time?
Because, see, we saw the dress. Geraldine pulled out her dress.
Very
cute. She has
this
awesome new dress.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, immediately in my mind, I'm like, we're going to a club. We're going out. We're going to some
rooftop
somewhere.
Where's the party? I'm like,
it's here.
Party?
And Amy's like, it's here. I'm like, really? With that dress? Okay.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah. So is it going to be a big old shindig?
Well, I've already told, you know, we're limiting our guests we're linking the guest list to the food supply. Like I said, I'm going to have 25 people, so he's going to make 25 people's worth of food.
Cool.
So it's going to be adults only, no no kids, and it's going to be here. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be, it's not going to be a late party because people have to go home and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be dinner-ish,
nice.
Dinner and drinks, and I'm imagining there will be 12 couples or 25 adults, you know.
Nice. So 12 couples and me, basically.
No, you're coming with Heather.
Heather and I will be one of the couples. That's fine.
And I'm inviting some of my podcasty friends. I'm inviting some of my animator friends. I'm inviting some old friends, some new friends. It's going to be a mix. A good mix.
Oh, that'll be fun. What podcasty friends besides us? Are there other podcasts?
Well, I haven't invited them yet, so we shall see.
Okay. All podcasty people, be nice to Geraldine.
and it's going to be later next month. It's going to be a dress-up party. Like, oh, you fun. Know, put on your high heels, get okay. out your bustier.
All right.
All right, that'll be really fun.
And it is going to be fun. My daughter is having her 8th birthday party next Saturday, and we have a small disco light mm-hmm. that attaches to the ceiling. So mm-hmm. we're going to install that for nice. Her party and then leave it up for when I have my party.
All right.
And it has been suggested by some listeners that they think I should have a piñata.
That'd be fun.
I think that would be like awesome.
Full of Whippets or something?
Yes, full of Whippets.
That would be fun, though.
No, well, full of condoms.
Those tiny little drink bottles, those would break.
I'm open to ideas. Okay. We shall see. But I think it's going to be great. Andy's doing Greek food, which Yum. Is like we both kind of had the same idea at nice. The same time. Mm-hmm. And he's putting his own special twist on it. Mm-hmm. Lamb kebabs mm-hmm. are one thing he mentioned. And I'm really, really looking forward to not having to cook.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah.
It's going to be great.
Where are you Hell putting yeah. your kids?
I'm thinking I will arrange a babysitter with one of our friends who's coming
oh,
over
that's
here.
A good idea.
That like
oh,
I'll perfect. Drop my kids over that's at their idea. House, and then they will be over at my house.
Oh, fun!
So
there you go.
It'll all work out.
Oh yeah, I love having stuff to look forward to. Mm-hmm. I think I'm quoting Geraldine on that one. Even I think you told me that one. okay, so now go ahead with the notes.
Well, it turns out that you know about the Birch Box and these boxes that come to you. We have mm-hmm. spoken that you know there's that one for nail polish, and you end up getting so many bottles of nail polish. Mm-hmm, I wanted right. to know, do you guys know how to dispose of nail polish properly?
You no. take it to the hazmat place, right?
Oh, really?
Do
the
you?
Hazways.
I don't know.
Well, nail polish is a hazardous material because it has the formaldehyde in it. And there is, yeah, I suppose you could take it to hazmat. But what you can also do that's easier is you dump out the nail polish mm-hmm. On like a newspaper or a disposable container, like a washed out cottage cheese container. Mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. have to let it dry, let the bottle dry, let the brush dry, and then toss it. Because once it's dry, Ooh. it's like paint, like wall paint. You can't throw
oh, okay.
wet liquid paint away, but if you dry out the whole container, you can toss it.
What happens if you do throw it away?
Well, it's bad for the environment. Mm.
It leaches into the groundwater. It builds up so much and so much and so much.
But are people really going to do that?
I did it. I'm doing it.
Really? Good for you.
It's kind of fun.
Do you think you'll continue to do it?
You could also make art with it. Let your kids paint on newspaper with it, right?
That's true.
It's got a built-in brush.
Well, it does have a hazardous material that's formaldehyde, so I don't know if you'd want to get your kids into it.
Well, we all wear it. Yeah. I mean, we all have it on our skin and our fingernails.
Well, it's dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's dry. So
eventually.
Geraldine says a strong no yeah. to that.
That I thought was something I did not know.
I didn't know that either.
But no, I have a small, a box of nail polish. Mm-hmm. Some of it, about half of it, is what Susan gave me about 2 to 3 years ago.
Hmm. Oh.
When I took your old nail polish and finally I'm like, I'm going to get rid of this stuff. How do I get rid of it?
Okay. Well, good for you. I would never do that, by the way, just so everybody knows. All right, go ahead.
All right. And
pour it out and let it dry.
Yeah. But I don't really wear nail polish. So yeah. So it's a wash.
Okay. So last time we talked, Amy, I think it was just when you and I were talking mm-hmm. that I had some article I had read that seemed very, very, when I actually read it, it seems so basic that it's like the older you get, you look back, no matter when you're looking back, it seems like, oh, I know more now than I did then, even mm-hmm. though like, you know, the next stage of life, you'll still look back.
Right.
So I have another similar topic that is very, very obvious. Mm-hmm. That I'm going to tell everyone about.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is something I read about marriage and happiness. It turns out that, you know, let me just preface this by saying, I love that there's all these studies to quantify happiness. Mm-hmm. We've spoken mm-hmm. about this before, that everybody wants to know, like, what's the secret? How can you be happy? How can you be happy? It turns out that you can be happy when you get married for about 2 years.
That's it.
Yeah, it's 2 years. You get a happiness boost mm-hmm. upon marriage. And then after 2 years, it reverts down to your former level of happiness.
Because mm-hmm. that's when you have kids.
Perhaps. It goes back to your default, mm-hmm. whether you're a super happy person or...
Yeah.
Of course, you know, the infatuation and the passion has an even shorter lifespan. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a new book out called The Myths of Happiness. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it's really, really hard to keep love alive in a marriage. You know, we're all married. I can say for myself, it is very difficult to be married at some times. Mm-hmm. Bob and I have definitely had our ups and downs. And there are some things you can do to keep your love alive.
Like answer the door and wrap in saran wrap or something.
Oh, don't do that.
You'll suffocate. Not the face. Okay, go ahead.
Well, there's a new, this new book out says that the key components are you have to be nice to, to your spouse.
Sure.
Which means being positive for every negative emotion you express. It's happy couples express 3 to 10 positive emotions. Mm-hmm. So if you say,
I actually read it was 20 to 1. And if you're in a fight, it's 5 to 1.
I heard if an unhappily married couple, it's less than 1 to 1.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why they're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say like your husband is late coming home or something like that.
Which would be crazy.
Okay. I know, right? Like instead of like when he calls or when he gets home, instead of saying, why are you late? Try to jump ahead in your own mind and think, what would that accomplish?
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You know?
It's good advice.
Nothing.
Right.
It would accomplish a fight and bad feelings. So you want to avoid bad feelings,
well,
right?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Because, see, here's the thing.
Well, like,
I think this is a good thing to think. What would that accomplish?
Coming in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just gets home. Why are you late?
Right.
Like you're all mad and angry.
You're pissed off.
Instead of saying, hi, how was your day?
Yeah.
Did you have a rough day?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, oh, did you have to stay later than you thought?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of making it like a big thing.
I'm kind of torn about that.
Yeah. Okay.
On the one hand, I agree with you. I totally see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to attack someone when you get in the door because you're just going to get in a fight.
Yeah.
Just be pissed off at each
other.
Bad
feelings. Yeah. Pissed off.
Second of all, but my other half is saying, if you're mad, like why do you have to make nice about it? You know, why do you have to like be like, oh,
if it happens like continually, if it's like the same thing that's bothering you continually, yes, you have to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But right when they walk in the door is not the time to do
that. Yeah, I agree. I think that saying that it's good to have the peace of mind and self-awareness to say this is not going to be productive.
Right.
But also I think not just not saying anything at all, which is not what I'm saying. You're saying, but saying this is going to cause bad feelings. Why do it?
Why do it? Yeah.
Then you're carrying resentment around. You
that's
don't want to do that.
Yes.
Because that will come out another time even worse.
Yeah.
So it's just that balance of like not attacking someone and being a total bitch, but expressing your feelings so you're not just like a simmering low grade bitch.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
You know? You want to be not a bitch. So sometimes you have to be mad at someone in a...
Yeah, oh, definitely.
In like as a productive way as you can be when you're angry.
Right.
That's my advice.
Use I statements.
Yeah, I statements are good.
Yeah.
Did you see This Is 40?
No. I heard it was shit.
No, I liked it. I saw it last
weekend.
You saw it? Yeah.
I wanted to go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Even though I heard it was shit,
no,
I'm like,
I
want to go.
I think you would see it. I think you would like it.
Really?
But I mean, it's way too long. But there's a scene, but it's good. There's a scene where the couple, they're really not getting along and they're like, okay, they're about to have a fight and they're like, okay, let's talk the way our therapist told us to by saying these I statements. And they're like, this totally happened to everybody I know. Like, I feel sad. First of all, she's always like, I feel sad, which is like the most vague, like nondescript, whatever.
Yeah.
I feel sad when you're being a total dick and you won't do this and you won't do that. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm not saying you are a bitch. I just feel that you're a bitch. You know? I thought that was really funny. I've just had so many of those. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, that is in the vein of this other new book called Love 2.0 that says cultivating positive energy every day motivates us to reach out for a hug more often or share and inspire. I don't even know about this book. Like it could be,
you're like, this book sucks.
No, but the one thing I did find interesting is it says that like human nature, I mean, I know this, we become habituated to good feelings. Like there's something that pleases us when we get used to it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't please us as much anymore. And that is a fundamental reason why love dies because I mean, which it's kind of heavy, but that the human tendency to become habituated to positive circumstances, and I'm quoting now from this book, The Myths of Happiness, it says we just get used to things that make us feel good and then they no longer do. This can be the death knell for marital happiness. So it is recommended in this book that companions, spouses, they are constantly, and I don't actually even agree with this either, that you always have to be finding new stuff to do with each other, like new hobbies, new friends, new. Yeah. And so the newness is going to keep you, I mean, maybe it does make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. I will just say that. you don't want to get in a tired old rut.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why a lot of people like have awesome vacations together, you know, because they're doing something mm-hmm. new, and then they come back and it's back to the old same old
back
same
to
old.
The old grind.
You know, I think if people enjoy each other's company, you should take advantage of that. But I have a question for our listeners. I'm not going to ask you guys. A question for our listeners. Do you all think it's possible to have good, passionate, or just really good sex through the duration of a marriage? Maybe with ups and downs, maybe not every single time, but like overarching good sex from your wedding day to, I don't know, the day you decide you don't want to do it anymore.
Yes. I'm sorry. We're not supposed to answer.
Well, you guys can answer. Oh. I just know too much about you guys. I didn't ask you. Okay.
Do you remember that list? I mean, you guys may not remember this.
I totally remember her. I know the one you're going to talk about. The one where she got married really young?
Well, the one I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. And she's married to an athlete.
Oh, no.
And she just said she was so happy. Yeah. And they did get married young. And he's her soulmate.
Yeah.
And they,
oh, yeah.
She sounded sincerely happy and was calling in to let us know that mm-hmm. she has a really wonderful mm-hmm. marriage. I bet they have really good sex.
I was thinking of the woman who talked about the guy she married, I think also youngish, who worked at the movie theater.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
her?
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I have no complaints. He's aww. Great. So I bet they do too. Yeah. And both of you should call in.
Yeah, totally.
Let us know. Yeah.
I know. We need updates.
Because that's what I want. Because I do think that's possible. And I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive. But I feel like it's possible.
I think it's possible. Definitely. Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, not the longer you wait between having sex, but definitely like apartness
mm-hmm.
when you do have sex, mm-hmm. it's like so much better.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Cause you're kind of like starving for some food.
Well, that's true.
And then you get the food and you're like, God, this is the best food I've ever had in my life.
But then when you do it more often, you're like, oh, let's slow down. Let's try this thing. Let's try this other thing. Let's be, you know, because usually when you wait a long time, you're just like, rah, and you just like jump on each other, which is great and passionate and awesome.
Yeah,
but sometimes
when
you do more often, you're just like, oh, you like can take your time a little bit, which is kind of cool too.
Yeah.
Well, that reminds me that Susan, mm-hmm. I'm just going to segue right into this. Since we're talking about intimate issues, mm-hmm. I'm going to segue right into
Susan's vagina.
Susan,
let's segue into Susan's vagina.
You can't get more intimate than that.
That's true.
You may be interested in this article I read on a website that it was a woman had written an essay about this, I guess, a chronic vaginal disease that mm-hmm. she had or skin. I'm not sure
it's
if
like
it was
a
skin disorder.
Yeah, I think it's a skin disorder. Yeah.
Did you read that same thing?
I did. And a lot of the symptoms sounded the same. But I think my naturopath did a biopsy for that exact same thing.
Oh, because she just said it itched from the time she was a teenager. She just itched and itched and itched, and it sounded like a nightmare.
Well, and it's
funny. She also said it was red, like it got really red, and it doesn't sound like yours did.
Well, and she said, it was like inflamed and red. And at times it is like that. If you itch, it gets way, way, way worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also she said, like, I'm going to, you know, she decided I'm just not going to itch it no matter how much it itches. And it got better.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to do. Mm-hmm. I try not to itch it at all, at all. But sometimes, like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and it'll itch. And you're, like, half asleep.
Right.
And it's like, ah.
Oh, you poor thing.
And then it'll get worse for a while. And then.
How is it?
Yeah. So you still have it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I still have it. It's still.
How bad
annoying.
Is it, like a scale from 1 to 10?
Well, it depends, like sex still hurts.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it hurts.
That sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think it might be like a half hormone thing and half some sort of like skin disorder or something.
It sounds like it's maybe genetic too, I think.
Yeah, it might be more than
like
one
family
thing. Yeah, because my sister has some sort of thing like that. My mom has something down there going on. I don't know.
Sure, your mom's glad that we all know about this.
But it was interesting that she did also say, I think it was called lichen sclerosis.
Yeah, good memory.
And what did she say? She said that it could have like something to do with autoimmune.
Oh, that's so, that is interesting because colitis.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we'll see.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I still have to write my naturopath and see if that's what she did test for.
Yeah.
That kind of itchy cooch really scares me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the only thing that scares me.
There's more.
I am still kind of scared of the same types of irrational fears that scared me as a kid. You know, I was thinking about these and it's interesting because as you grow up, you know, you shed so many of the things you were afraid of because you begin to understand the world. But there are some things that I still don't understand and I'm still scared of. Would you guys like to know?
Yes. Yes, I'm dying.
Well, the number one is A Bottomless Pit. Did you ever read or hear about A Bottomless Pit, that it's like a well that goes on forever?
That's scary. And, I mean, in movies they have that kind of concept.
Yeah, and that you'd come out the other end in China. That scared me so much. Aww. Terrifying. Also, this was when I was a little bit older, backmasking. The idea that you could play a record backwards and hear satanic messages. Terrifying.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's like I didn't quite understand it, but I knew.
Does it still scare you?
Oh, I'm terrified.
Really? We're totally doing that at your party. Go ahead.
She's not.
Also, the book, and there was a movie with it called The Phantom Toll Booth.
Oh, I love The Phantom Toll Booth. That's one of my favorite books of all time ever. I just bought it for Benji.
Creepy and scary.
Have you read it?
No, I was too scared.
Oh my gosh, you should read it right now. I bought it for Benji.
You were scared of this book, but just the title.
And the illustration.
Well, the illustrations are by Jules Feiffer, which is awesome. He was this like really famous cartoonist from The New Yorker.
Mm-hmm. I am familiar.
And the book is awesome, and it is full of the worst, best puns, and it's just like the craziest, funniest book. You should totally read it, Gerilyn. I'm going to lend it to you. I just reread it, and it's really good. I'm going to talk about that book right now, so you can be excited to read it. It is about a boy, Milo, who's always really bored, and he never has anything to do. And one day he gets this mystery package in his room, and it's this phantom toll booth. It's okay. It's going to be okay.
she's shaking. Gerilyn's shaking her head.
Dog with this big watchdog, a dog with a big watch in the middle of him. And they get in their car, and they go through the toll booth, and they end up having to make peace between these two worlds. I think it's like math and English. It's like numbers and language, like these two worlds at war.
Wow.
And he has all these adventures, and I know he goes to this one place where, it's also my favorite, where it's like totally normal and everything, except for the kids are all floating up in the air. And what happens when you get there is you're born at the height that you are, and then when you finish growing, your feet touch the ground. So instead of growing up, you grow down. So you're always like at the same, your head's always at the same height.
That's
and then
awesome.
When you're finished growing, your feet touch the ground. I always thought that was so funny. So there's all kinds of fun stuff like that. And it's really good. And you should totally read it.
Jaren's like, no.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I will consider it.
Okay.
That's all I can say. And the last thing that really scared me when I was a kid was the concept of the poorhouse. Did your parents ever say stuff like, the way things are going, or, you know, I have to spend so much money on you and your clothes, you're going to put us in the poorhouse.
Yeah,
so the idea that there was a poorhouse, that it just sounded so dismal, kind of like out of Oliver
right,
Twist.
Right, or Annie.
That, you know,
yeah, like, Little Orphan Annie. Right, exactly.
And that was just an image or an idea that chilled me to the bone.
Oh my gosh, kids are so funny.
Yeah.
They're so crazy. Now I'm remembering a bunch more of mine.
How about you? What was on your list of
I wrote some down, but now that you're talking about it, I wrote some. Okay, so my first and biggest childhood fear was of Satan. Because at a far too young age, my far too permissive mother let me see The Exorcist.
Oh.
So it was like on a black and white TV, edited for television. It scared the shit out of me. So for years, I was terrified of the devil and that he was going to be in my room. And I imagined him as like a skeleton in a top hat.
Oh.
And that he was going to come out, like I had a little space between my dresser and my wall that I couldn't see. And that he was going to come out of there and walk up to my bed and stand over me in this very ominous way and say,
what was Satan going to say to you? Satan the skeleton.
Satan the skeleton in the top hat. He was going to say, why aren't you sleeping, little girl? Scared the shit out of him. So scary. I was so scared of it all the time.
God.
I know. Like I was.
I was also afraid of Satan, but because you know of Christian upbringing,
right.
Satan is bad. But my mom would always tell me, if you pray at night, because of course I was afraid of Satan at night when
I was
laying in bed. If you pray to God, Satan will put you to sleep because he doesn't want you to pray to God.
Okay.
It's a good way to fall asleep is to just pray to God. Yeah.
But then Satan's still working there.
Right.
He's still there.
I know. Yeah. He's hearing me. Yeah. It's like,
doesn't really make you relax.
Yeah. That doesn't really help.
That's funny. So that was a really big fear of mine. Another one that reminded me when Geraldine was talking was I was really scared of the Sphinx, the riddle of the Sphinx. Mm. Do you remember that?
That sounds scary.
Yeah, it's really scary. Which was what walks on four legs in the morning, two legs in the afternoon, and three legs at night, which is man, of course, or woman. And, but it scared the crap out of me when I was a little girl. I don't remember. I don't know why, but it just did. I used to have this recurring nightmare of, a hare and a brick, and they were digging. And it was so scary.
I think you've mentioned this.
I probably have. It was
really scary. A hare and a brick?
Yeah.
Like a piece of hair.
A piece of hair and a brick.
And a brick.
And they're both digging in a hole.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the brick was doing a good job because it was a brick. And the hair could only, like, you know, it's mushy. It can't stand. Right. It didn't have arms or legs or anything. So it, like, could only pick up, like, one or two little specks of dirt at a time.
That sounds like
scare the crap out of me.
A dream you would have when you have a fever, like a high,
fever. Yeah. It does sound like a fever dream.
Oh my God.
And then the other things are, I was really scared of dogs when I was a kid. And I was also really scared of big groups of teenagers.
Oh, well.
And I always knew like when I was a teenager, I wasn't scared of them anymore. And then like I got to a point where I was scared of them again.
Oh,
like
no.
Now I'm like still a little wary, you know? Oh. So those were all my biggest ones.
Pretty scary.
How about yours, Susan?
Well, my first one is pretty generic. Mm-hmm. Snakes and spiders.
Okay.
And I was so afraid of snakes that I would like work myself up at night and think there were snakes at the foot of my bed.
Ooh, scary.
Inside the covers.
Oh, scary.
Yeah. And I would just ball my feet up as close to my body as I could. And yeah. Bad men.
Well, sure, that's healthy.
Bad men, you know, I was very afraid of...
Just generic bad men?
Generic bad men. Whether they were coming to get me or whatever.
Right.
And the last one, I had this dream, this nightmare one time when I was a kid, that it was just like a dark graveyard and a headstone and all my toys piled up on top of it. So it was, I was dead and I couldn't play with my toys anymore.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
Yeah. And I guess I woke up screaming and crying.
Oh, you poor thing.
And I remember, you know, my dad was holding me in the rocking chair and I told him about it. And yeah.
Wow.
And after that, I had so many questions about death and dying. Mm-hmm. I think I was in first or second grade, but I was constantly asking my mom and dad about, you know, what happens when you die? Well, what do they do with the body? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like. So my mom actually took me to a funeral parlor.
Oh, that was good.
So I could talk to the funeral director.
That was very supportive.
About death. And so I talked to him, asked him all the questions. Mm-hmm. And then he asked me, I remember this so clearly, would you like to see a dead body? He was going to take me, this little kid. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? I don't know, seven or something?
Yeah.
Up to the place where they, you know, get the bodies
oh my
ready.
God.
And show me a fucking dead
body. Did your mom
say no? I think I said no.
Oh, good.
I'm pretty sure I remember being like, no.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
Speaking of bad dreams, I don't know if I've told this one. Stop me if I have. But I think, have I told you guys I have like the worst nightmare on record?
No.
It's like the nightmare that stops all nightmare conversations.
Oh, no.
Is this about being chased by butterflies?
No. It's not being chased by butterflies.
That was
one.
Yours.
I did. Oh, yeah. I was having some bad butterfly dreams. No, this was like... This is in college, so a long time ago. Mm-hmm. When people are like sitting around talking, laughing, like, I have bad dreams and cracking up. Then I tell mine, right. It's always like, conversation ends and gets really uncomfortable and someone changes the subject.
Wow. Okay. Do you want to lay it on us? Or
I'm
going to
lay
heavy?
It on all of you people.
Okay.
So I had this dream in college. It was during the Gulf War. I remember that.
Uh-huh.
And I had this dream that... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm laughing now because no one's going to be laughing. I had this dream that I was in the bathtub being raped by the plumber while my family stood around chanting, you don't exist.
Oh, my God.
Not the worst dream I've ever.
It's funny looking back at
know,
it, though.
It's hilarious. But it is the worst dream like ever recorded.
Oh, my God.
I know. It makes
That's
people
pretty bad.
It makes people so
Did you call the plumber?
I don't think so.
Or did he just show up?
He was just kind of there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus,
I know, it's really bad.
So anyway,
see exactly. So
we can talk about a new oxygen trend in skincare,
okay?
Or bump right over to what people want to hear us talk about, money.
I'm talking too much. Let's talk about skincare.
Well, it turns out that would you guys have ever thought that oxygen would be the main ingredient in the new skincare trends?
Well, it's cheap, right? I'm waving it on my face right now.
It's free, yeah.
it gives the skin brightness and clarity. No, this is oxygen, like, in a product, in a lotion.
Like OxyClean?
An Oxygen Boost Daily Energizing Oxygen Elixir from Philosophy, or Take a Deep Breath Oil-Free Energizing Oxygen Gel Cream Moisturizer for $34. There's also an in-home oxygen peel. There's all this oxygen stuff.
Can I just blow into some of my creams I already have?
Well,
no, that's carbon dioxide.
Oh, man.
It also contains a conditioning agent called perfluorodecalin, which allows us to diffuse oxygen into the skin where it is most needed. So for a while it was soy extract. For a while it was green tea.
Vitamin C.
Now oxygen
was just air.
Is the thing. Yes.
Wow. And you could also just like breathe in really deeply and get the oxygen in your blood. Mm-hmm. And then the blood goes to your skin cells.
Okay.
And plumps them up. Exactly. Now... Now, this is something I have to bring up because it's so interesting.
Here we go.
Well, did you guys know that Tide liquid detergent is the new black market commodity? It's being sold on the black market.
Like, I don't know why I know that, but I do know that.
Okay. Really? Did they stop making it or something?
No,
they didn't stop making it, but it is sort of easy to shoplift because it's like such a thing that nobody's going to stop. The cashiers don't stop a person walking out the door with a container of Tide. It's expensive. Right. So say it costs like $20, the jumbo size.
The big one, yeah.
And then on the street, you can trade it for $5 cash or for $10 of crack.
See, wow. I thought that it was black market because it was people cut it for drugs, like people cut cocaine with it or heroin or something like that.
No. It is being called the liquid gold. It's a liquid gold.
Wow.
But why wouldn't they stop you if you're walking out the door with a box of Tide?
Well, it's like workers at a supermarket or Walmart, they're paid so little that, I mean, it's kind of...
They don't care.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. Yeah. So somebody walks out the door with two armloads full of Tide containers.
Well, and also they're thinking like, they didn't want a bag because those things are so big.
That's
they don't
probably
fit in
more
a bag
like it.
Anyway, and
that's
they're heavy.
Probably, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and also I hate my job. Who cares?
Exactly. So there's been a huge, and then also it's like even people are stealing like massive, you know, truckloads of it. And then they're selling it to discount stores.
Oh, wow.
And then like to sell the wholesale, you know, like I have 100 bottles of Tide detergent, and then the wholesale place can sell it to their customers for $7, and like they're still making a profit because they got it for $5.
Well,
they still anyway, right. Yeah. No. So Tide is the new big thing. The other new big thing on the school play yards around the world is elbow bumping instead of high fives.
Oh, because germs.
All right.
It's a strategy to combat flu season.
Okay.
You don't want to spread the flu germ, so instead of giving
elbow bumping, that
your
works.
Palsy a high five, do the elbow bump.
I've actually seen, that is so funny you say that, because I have seen the kids at my school, unbeknownst to me, it's like a double elbow forearm. It's a double forearm bump where you go, you take one fist, you know, you fist your fist. You put your fist in.
You make a fist.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you would bump your right forearms, and then your left forearms.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, bump, bump.
Yeah.
And that's a little hello or whatever.
Cute.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no.
Because it's kind of like you're punching each other. So that's fun.
Yeah.
But you're not.
And it's kind of like a little dance move.
Yeah.
And you feel kind of cool.
Yeah.
So now the last topic we're going to cover, and there's plenty to talk about on this. We found out that people do want to hear us talk about money.
So yay.
Listeners chimed in on Facebook and they said, no problem. Talk about it all you like. Mm-hmm. It is actually interesting. So,
okay, good.
Amy, how are you doing on your, I'm going to use you as the guinea pig. How's your money managing skills?
I've not really been keeping up with mint.com that much. Some people wrote in and suggested a couple other places, but there's no way I'm going to record stuff. One thing I like about mint.com is it takes all your bank information and it's just there, which is kind of awesome. So there's no way I'm going to sit down with receipts and start. I just know myself too well. So I may still go for it. I may still try to keep trying to use it. I got paid again. Yay. And I feel really determined to, and I replaced the money in the savings account that I had to take out of the savings account in order to get to the paycheck. So I'm really determined to have like enough left over. And I think it's going to be a challenge.
Oh.
Spend money so fast without even trying.
I know.
Spend so much money. So, but I'm trying to really, at least, I guess for these 2 weeks, just really, really pay attention to it.
Okay. So would you be willing to go 1 week without spending any money except on necessities like food and, I don't know, parking fares or like whatever your absolute necessities? Could you go 1 week?
I don't think so.
Could you go 2 weeks?
No.
I could go 1 week.
Because it's like, what, you know, like I'm like, okay, could I do it this week? Well, no, I'm getting my hair cut on Saturday. So no. You know, like
wouldn't that be a scheduled necessity?
Yeah, like what counts as necessity?
Like it was no clothes, accessories.
Well, yeah, that I could do.
Toys,
like just your bills or utilities and groceries. And I don't know what else is there.
Gas.
You could do that, right?
Yeah, I could probably do that. So I did read a good article that said if you have a budget, the way to create a budget. Because I'm always just like, when you're trying to think of one, it's a good ratio. I think it was 50-20-30. Have you guys heard of that?
Nope.
So it's you should spend 50% of your monthly net take home on kind of everything you have, like your living expenses, your rent or your mortgage, and your bills that are necessary, like I guess the light and the heat, you know, stuff like that. And I think food and transportation were in there.
Wow. And then 50%?
I think food was in there. I'm not sure. Yeah. And then 20% was... I think for paying off debt, like credit card, and any savings that you have or contributing to your portfolio or whatever people do. Mm-hmm. And then 30% was for everything else, like your cable and your, you know, like those bills that you don't have to have and your entertainment and all that stuff. So it was like a pretty good ratio to think about when you're making a budget.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that is fair. So do you guys contribute to retirement accounts on a regular basis?
I do,
I do at work, just with my regular paycheck. Work. Mm-hmm. And I transfer a little bit of money every month from my paycheck to my savings, a teeny little bit.
So do you have emergency savings for, it's recommended 6 months to a year of emergency savings that's equal to your, that like if you got unemployed, you could live for X amount of months.
No.
Well, as long as I got unemployment.
But even so.
Well, no, that doesn't count. Oh. I'm saying in your savings account, could you exist for a certain amount of months just on that?
On my husband's, yeah.
No, that does not count. I'm talking about you.
No.
Do you?
Absolutely not.
Darren probably does.
I do. Yeah. I mean, that's what, whether it's a money market account or a certificate of deposit or a savings account.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You would want to have access to emergency money.
Emergency
to
money.
Keep you
I mean, I have a savings account, but I don't have enough in it for that long.
So is that like one of your goals for this year to get more?
I'm trying to save like a certain amount every year. It's hard because there's a lot of money that goes in and out of there for like that I keep in there for like Benji's tuition, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So it's hard to know exactly how much is there that's just mine and how much is going to his school, and we get bonuses at work, you know what I mean? So it's just, it's like a little confusing as far as how much is in there just for pure savings. But I would think it would take me a long time just to save that 6 months.
Yeah, well, it'd
take a really long time.
Yeah, it would take a couple years.
Yeah, very long time.
Definitely. Do you guys have savings accounts for your kids in their, like, in their name or like as a custodial thing?
No, we don't. No. Do you?
What do you do with the money that they get for Christmas and birthdays from their relatives?
They don't really get money. They get presents.
Yeah, mine don't get money. Mine doesn't get money.
I started a bank account for Henry when he was born, and it's just like an add-on to my savings. Mm-hmm. It's just a separate, you know, hole.
That's cute.
And so any money that he gets, because, you know, relatives will send money for like baby showers or birthdays, or so we just stick it in there.
Oh, that's nice.
And he's got a little nice little beginning estneg.
Cute. Yeah. No, Benji doesn't. We don't really get money as gifts.
So now I have a question for you both. What do you think it is better to get $10 today or $25 in 2 weeks? Which would you choose?
25 in 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, 25 in 2 weeks.
That is the fiscally responsible answer. That's true. A lot of people would say $10 now because you think I want the, it's better to have your one bird in the hand than two in the bush.
I guess so.
But no, you do want to get more later.
But I don't need the $25 today. Like if I was more desperate for money, I might say, just give me the 10
if
bucks.
If I was a crack addict, I'd say, give me the 10 now.
Yeah, if I was a crack addict.
Or just a vial of crack.
Or your jumbo container of Tide.
Or Tide.
Right, exactly. But since I'm not desperate for it, I can wait a couple of weeks and get more money.
Yep.
Well, now I have an idea. I'm going to put this out there. I don't think you guys are going to take this up on me, but I'm going to put it out to the listeners. And this is for somebody who really, really is desperate for money, is probably not working because it's kind of complicated and takes a lot of time. But if you have no money and you maybe want to get some money and it doesn't involve Tide. So what you would do is, okay, you guys know to sell stuff on eBay. You can buy stuff in like a local thrift store, a Goodwill, a Salvation Army, and sell it on eBay. And sometimes you would make a lot of money. Sometimes you'd make a little bit of money. But a lot of people feel they don't have that specialized, like, you know, they walk into a thrift store and it just all looks like junk. Right. So how would you know what to buy?
Right.
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 So this is for somebody who has a lot of time on their hands. But what you can do is you can buy stuff, keep the tags on it at Goodwill at least. And then like you have, say, 7 days to return it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy it, you go in and you look around and you see like what you think is going to sell. Like, maybe, you know, give it your best shot. You buy the stuff, keep the little tag on. You put it on eBay for a 3-day auction. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever doesn't sell,
you take that
and return it. And that way you're not out any pocket. Like, you didn't lose any money buying stuff that's not going to sell. And maybe you made a shitload of money.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go, people. I can imagine like a full-time student doing that. Somebody who like has the time to look.
To go and to all the
But then also has the time to like return stuff.
Right, exactly.
Because that's the kicker.
I have a little eBay story. We were at a yard sale one time, and my husband kind of collects vintage t-shirts, like concert shirts and things. And this guy was selling a Kiss t-shirt. And my husband was like, wow, you know, you can sell this on eBay and you can get money. He's like, eh, I tried. I didn't get anything. So he sold it to John for $12. And John just sold it, I think today, for $67.
Nice.
So that's a nice little profit right there.
Absolutely. It can be done. It's just the hard part is finding the thing to sell.
Yes.
You know.
Finding all. And this was, he was actually just going through his own collection recently and weeding stuff out. And that was one of the things. I think we got it like 3 years ago. So it just sat in a bucket in the attic. And then there you go.
So it more than quintupled in price. You made six times is what you paid for it.
Yeah.
Very nice. So now, what kind of money mistakes do you make? Is there anything that you've done or you do that you're like, oh, why did I ever do that?
Yeah, like it's usually like buying something like makeup when I'll get all excited. It's kind of like going to the grocery store when you're hungry. You really shouldn't go to the grocery store when you're hungry. So I'll go and like looking at this makeup or something. It's like, oh, I like that color of lipstick. Oh, I like that one too. Like, I'm just going to get all three. And then you get home and you're like, oh, I just paid like, you know, $30 for all these lipsticks.
Is your intention to take three home, try each one on, and then return two? Or you want to have all three?
Well, I want to have all three. But you can't really return makeup to a drugstore, can you?
You can. So, sure,
if
you
it's
can.
Opened?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Because you want to try it on. And then you try it on. You're like, oh, this one looks crappy. And then you're out $10.
Huh.
So it'd be better if you just buy your makeup at Nordstrom's where you can return anything, right?
Right.
Or can you return at Sephora?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even opened.
Even
yeah,
opened.
You just say, this didn't work out for me.
Yeah.
And that's all you have to say. Interesting.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I have been impulsive. I've made money mistakes. I have not saved when I could have. I have spent when I should not have. But in my time, I learned like never look back or never not like don't second guess yourself with the would have, could have, should have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
that's good
you
advice.
Are where you are.
You are where you are. Don't beat yourself up because you didn't start saving when you were 24. You know, I also don't try to predict the future. Like, you don't know. I don't know that I will be able to save as much next year or the year after. So I just concentrate on now. And I take it day by day. Also, small steps and diversify. I have not everything in one pot. Mm-hmm. So how about you, Amy? Have you made any money mistakes? I guess with your budgeting, you're learning as you go.
Like, your life has been one big mistake up till now. Sure. I mean, I can't think of anything that was so major. It was like, well, I mean, I guess I can. But, you know, I can't think of, I have, you know, said, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or that was a bad idea, or I overspent my reach. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Why did I buy that?
Yeah, I mean, there's like buyer's remorse for like a shoes that were too expensive. Yeah.
And then you go to take it back, like, oh, it's past 90 days. Sorry. And you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with these ugly boots?
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's buyer's remorse for like, your house was too expensive. You know, I mean, stuff like that. It's like two different things. But yeah. One thing I do that's good, I think, is that I don't have a lot of debt. Like, I don't have a lot of, I don't have any credit card debt. I just have my car, you know, which is good. So that's one good thing for me anyway.
You know, like even Martha Stewart, who has, you know, millions, billions, millions of dollars. You guys, do you remember when she got sent to jail?
I do.
Oh, hell yeah. I watched the TV movie about it.
Do you remember how much money it was, like, in the long run, how much she saved herself by doing that illegal stock trade that she shouldn't have done? $40,000 for her. That's what she got put in jail because she had insider info that she shouldn't have had, and she acted on it so that, because if she hadn't, she would have lost $40,000. So in saving that $40,000,
which for her is not a big deal.
No, for her, that's like, really. For us, that's like a penny.
Right. So in regular people money.
So like everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah. You know, they do.
Well, we are going to wrap it up now. We've talked for over an hour.
Wow. We had a lot to say.
I guess we did have a lot to say. There's one more thing I want to say. I forgot to mention this. This is another money thing. This is for the student or a person who's paying off a student loan. There's a new program called Smarter Bucks. It's a reward program offered by Smart Bank. And it's like a lot of those reward programs. Everyday purchases earn points to pay down the loan. And that's
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
Because it's like, who wouldn't want to do that? You're buying your groceries, but then for every $200 you spend, you get $2 off your loan or something.
Yeah, that's nice.
So
That's nice.
And I know we have students listening, so maybe they can do that.
Yeah, good suggestion.
What's it called again?
It's called Smarter Bucks. Smarter Bucks reward program.
And it's just for student loans?
As far as I know, that's what I how.
Or is it
I
just for students? Because there's plenty of people with student loans.
It's for student loans.
Okay, so if you're 35 and you still have your student loan, you can maybe use it.
I'm 43 and I still have my student
there
loan
you go.
Going.
So you can be doing Smarter Bucks.
All right.
So until next week, we are going to hang tight and oxygenate our faces.
And dream only good dreams.
Bottomless pit.
Woo!